Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is End Times Friday, and this will be airing November the 22nd, which is, by the way, the week before Thanksgiving. We are taping this now after the election.
Yeah, the first time we've taped post-election, right? So it's just a couple days after the results.
So, well, Kathy, lots happening. Any from people around what your area, what's their perspective on all this at the moment?
You know, it's an interesting mix. And so I'm doing a lot of reminding people to be loving and gracious and this sort of thing. So I have lots of friends who are legitimately celebrating and so pleased and excited and whatnot. And then I have things like, you know, a text coming in from Anna, who is in a classroom, and regardless of what her leanings were politically, she walks into a classroom and half of the class is undocumented and they're kids and they're scared. And so I think we need to recognize in the midst of all of this, regardless of whether your candidate won or didn't win, what does it look like to love and walk with grace and mercy and justice and see other people and love them well? And even if we are celebrating or excited that our candidate won, realize that there is real fear and sadness on the other side. And the answer to all of it is just Jesus. So it's not that hard. It's love well and be Jesus with skin on.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll actually, that's a message that that I've been getting, and we'll talk about that with the Republicans, you know, winning at the moment. What we know is that, you know, Republicans won the presidency. The Republicans control the House or the Senate, and the House is still to be decided who the majority is there. Based on what is projected, it looks like the Republicans will have the majority in the House as well. And I'll try to explain the basic implication of it all.
When is the last time, I just don't remember well, that we had all of that, president, House, and Senate, all in one party with the majority?
Well, if you remember back with Bush, George Bush.
Mm-hmm. Senior?
Actually, it was senior. And Newt Gingrich, remember? I don't know if you remember.
Oh, yep, I do.
Okay, he was the Speaker of the House. They had all three branches, and they had they had set up that they were going to, you know, make all these sweeping changes because they had the ability to. Now, there's a couple things to understand about that is that if you have the majority, it is easier to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the rules that have been set up, really, a lot of things require, in essence, 60% vote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just majority vote. And because of that and the rules that are used, it's not automatic that if you have majority. And by the way, the Senate and the House, if they do have majority, it'll be just slight majority.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to, one, remember that doesn't give them the ability to just sweep everything that they want. That's just not actually the way it works. But two is, remember, there's a lot of, you know, bureaucrats throughout the entire system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when Trump, remember, I don't know if you remember, people remember when Trump was president in 16, he said he was going to drain the swamp.
Yep, I do remember that.
Guess what? He couldn't do it. There's a built-in bureaucracy and resistance to change that isn't easy to overcome. And with Newt Gingrich back then, they said, we're going to. The truth is they never actually did.
Right.
Because they couldn't get there. So we got to be careful that we assume.
Mm-hmm.
That, well, if they have the majority, they can do all these things. Now, here are the things that we do know and will have an impact is that, and this is, again, the reaction of the country, you know, to the election, is that I think that's partly why Trump got elected. There's a belief that his administration will be better for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an immediate bump in the stock market.
Right.
There's a lot of discussion about, oh, good. Now we're going to have things, you know, economically positive. I heard this before the election, and I believe it's true, is that economically, Trump will be favorable for America for probably 18 to 24 months just because of the expectation. That things are going to get better. You know, better meaning...
An expectation is somewhat of a self-fulfilling prophecy. When it comes to the economy.
In economic theory, it really is what you believe is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe positive things are going to happen, you act that way and you invest and you hire people, et cetera. So, you know, and we'll have Casey Mulligan back on, by the way, because remember his premise of all the work that he's done is all about what's called marginal income.
Mm-hmm.
The ability of people to decide themselves where to spend their money and not give it to the government that doesn't, you know, invest in it. I believe that, and this has to do, by the way, with the House, is if the Republicans get the majority of the House and they have the Senate and the presidency, it's easier to enact tax reform.
Right.
Which the whole purpose of taxes is if Trump comes and lowers the tax rates, that means there's more marginal income in the hands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's investment and it stimulates the economy. And that's why we need to watch. You know, by the time this airs, we will know who has the majority of the House.
Right.
If the Democrats have the majority of the House, it's just going to become more difficult for them to enable and enact tax reform. So this is just a heads up. Well, by the time this airs, actually everybody will know it.
Right.
And what I'm telling you is if the Republicans have it, you can expect pretty significant tax reform, and it's going to impact a positive way in the economy short term. If the Democrats own it, it's going to be tougher. It doesn't mean they can't do it. It's just going to be harder.
A little more of an uphill battle. Yeah.
To do. So I think that the economy is going to get better short term. Now, by the way, long term, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll spend some time over the next weeks talking about that piece of it. So we got to be careful, and we're going to discuss this today anyway, is that be careful that we don't presume certain things. And expect certain things and actually put our hope in things that aren't of God.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to talk about. The other thing is that, and because you and I, you know, on our End Times Fridays, we have Denny Weinberg, we have Rabbi Ephraim, we have Eric from Israel,
mm-hmm.
is remember that the center of attention is Israel.
Right. And the world has been watching, and Israel in particular has been watching this election, but the whole world really.
Yeah. And if you've gone back over the last month and listened to them, we asked the question, you know, what's your perspective? Because this is pre-election.
Mm-hmm.
What's your perspective on the election and on America? And they laid out such a clear understanding of it is that it does matter who gets elected.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we, Israel, understand that over time we have to become more independent because we can't. And we said, and he said, because of the way you elect your people, it can go from very positive to the next administration be very negative. He said, well, we can't rely on that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to become more independent. But we need America right now, not necessarily for their technology, although there is technical things that we assist them with. And it's more of a joint effort, not just Israel by itself. But they said they need our money.
Mm.
So I think, and I've heard this a lot in my time with the Lord, this is about Israel. Trump is going to be favorable to Israel, and he's going to provide them cover over the next couple of years. And cover meaning he'll support them, he'll work with them against the terrorist, and he'll give them money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's all part of that entire purpose of what God is up to. Is that? And here's my perspective, because remember we're still looking at forces. Remember, as spiritual forces that are moving toward the one world government, which is the initiation of the tribulation.
Right.
I don't think that's going to change any. And one thing I'm going to be observing is how does that play out with the Trump administration relative to who he brings in, what kind of things are they supporting? What's the big game going on?
Right.
And we're going to try to help people understand that don't get caught up and that, oh, great. Now he's going to make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, we're dealing with powers and principalities.
Right. Right.
And it's never done by a political party. And don't let a thought of the Republicans or Trump as a savior. He's not. And they're not.
Right.
So I think these are all things that are going to be true. Another thing that's true. And we've already seen, Dave Dunkel sent me a article. And this is the day after the election, that there's already groups sending out emails to their constituents saying, give us money because we're coming after the Trump administration. And this is just the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't done anything yet.
Right, right.
But we're getting up and we're coming after it. Okay, what does that mean? Division.
Yes.
What does
and
that
this
mean?
Is chaos. What we have to pay attention to, that division and chaos, not assigning it to the parties or the people, but recognizing it and seeing it clearly for what it is, which right. is the spiritual battle, right?
Right, right, right. Because Christ said the enemy goal is division.
Mm-hmm.
In a house divided, what?
Cannot stand.
Cannot stand. You know, and so the destruction of America and the destruction of the world is still the play.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that happen? Well, one of the biggest things is chaos and division.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect that, and we'll see more and more and more of that, because the forces will line up. And remember, we're dealing with principalities and powers. So what will the enemy do? Use self-centered people.
Mm-hmm.
Who have power, who have strength to basically strongly come against
mm-hmm.
anything that's good. And we can say that, you know, will Christians be assisted? I think so. I think there'll be at least a voice that will stand up for the right for us to, you know, worship the way we want to be able to speak the way we want to. I do think it's going to be better. So there's, As with anything, there's good and there's bad. And I believe that, and I've always believed this, that Trump and the Republican administration is God's choice at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at them as the savior. I personally don't expect America to become great again.
Right.
Because I think it's headed in the other direction, by the way, because of pride. But with all that coming, and we'll see this, the biggest question we have is, Father, how would you have us view this?
Mm-hmm.
And what instruction do you have for me and for us as your children here on earth, knowing that life isn't about politics? Life is about the kingdom. And we look at, again, the way that Christ dealt with his disciples, the way he dealt with his culture. He never told his disciples and the church, I want you to go and change the government. I want you to go and change and focus on the cultural things. Rather, it's, I want you to follow me.
Right, right.
So what we're going to look at, and this is a verse that God gave me, gave it to me this last week, and then I've been processing it. And it was all about what's going to happen here. Is go to Proverbs 8. And read verses 5 down to 21.
Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries.
Yep. So he says that I'm calling out for us to have understanding, be of an understanding heart. And the word there in the Hebrew is have a hearing heart.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts out and says, my children, I'm inviting you to have a hearing heart because I'm going to speak and I'm asking you to receive.
Mm-hmm.
With understanding. And then he says in verse 6, and read verse 6 again, because this is kind of critical to how we view this.
Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things.
Yeah. So he says, I'm going to speak excellent things. I'm going to speak noble things. I'm going to speak the kingdom things.
Mm-hmm.
So as you started out, one of the excellent things is our hearts and how we treat others.
Yes.
That he doesn't say you have to join the division, that you
right.
have to join the chaos. You have to join the judgment. Rather, he said, you be in excellence and stay in the kingdom. And the kingdom mm-hmm. of God is righteousness, peace, and joy.
And focused on the things that he is focused on, right?
And focus, and we'll talk about focus on the kingdom things, excellent things, noble things, that don't get caught up in the politics of it or what you think people are saying about the politics of it mm-hmm. or what even is going to happen. But rather, you stay in peace and always stay in forgiveness, and you stay without judgment to be able to treat people with honor and respect,
mm-hmm.
particularly those that disagree with you, which people are going to do.
Right.
That's okay. And you stay in that spot and then think kingdom. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. But he said, my heart is always about the kingdom. It's not for you to get caught up in the worldly stuff at the moment. Doesn't mean you don't deal with it and you don't understand it, but he said, don't get caught up in it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, listen, I'll speak of excellent things, right things. He says, I will speak truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there it is. As we go forward, and remember, truth isn't what we want to have happen or what other people are telling us you should. Rather, it's a heart just says, if you're pursuing truth, what does your heart say to God?
What do you have to say?
What do you have to say? And show me what's really going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And show me the kingdom dynamics. Show me the spiritual dynamics. Show me what's really happening so I don't miss
mm-hmm.
truth because I either overlooked it or I got caught up in somebody else's truth. And I just give you a simple example that we all can remember is that in 2020, Trump lost the election to Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was the reaction of the Trump administration and the Republicans?
Absolute chaos and division.
That is that they stole the election and we're going to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to fight it. And they come out with that. And there, by the way, there were many so-called prophets who joined it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, God has said he is going to prevail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be proven that they stole it and he's going to be reinstated as the president.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, people got really caught up in that.
They did, yes.
Partly because they wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And two is there were spiritual people, well-known spiritual people that declared that God said.
Right.
And they accepted that as truth because, again, they just got caught up in the whole thing. I'm in the middle of people talking to me about that.
Right.
What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I said, always two things. It says in 2 Peter,
mm-hmm.
don't let any prophetic thing be a private interpretation. Go open it up. And then it says in 1 Peter and in 1 John, test the spirits.
Yes.
Let's go see. And it's really easy. It's super easy. Why could you and I and anybody listening test the spirits? On what basis? What do we do? This
because the
easy?
Holy Spirit lives within us.
Yeah,
so we have the ability to discern through Him.
So what's our question?
What do you have to say, God?
Father, is this so? Is this of you? You know, if somebody says God said, you don't say okay,
right?
You got to go test it,
yeah.
And the test,
and that
is really
should
easy.
Be in any case, right? Not every, just every, on the big everything. Things, in anything, yes.
Everything, yeah, particularly when it's involving me. So I would say, well, let's go see God. I'm telling you, because I've asked God this question, and I can't confirm that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying it's not true, and I'm not saying that things may be in play, but at the moment, I can't stand up and say I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, the Holy Spirit said no.
Yeah.
And so as you're looking for truth, it has to be a true heart to receive truth.
Mm-hmm.
And not to get caught up in what other people are saying, particularly the Christian world that declares things. So he said, pursue truth. And then he says, if you fear the Lord, you hate evil. And the word evil, there are things that annoy, frustrate, and irritate and cause you trouble and cause division and cause things. He said, you don't need to put up with that. So don't join it. And certainly don't say, I'm going to live with it.
Right. And don't perpetuate it. Yeah.
Yeah. And he says, hate pride and arrogance. And the evil way. And pride and arrogance is at two levels. One, I have to be careful that I don't enter into that space of pride and arrogance. And pride and arrogance is just simply, I'm going to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, this is what, you know, now America is going to be made great again. I'm joining that program. And God said, well, I remember when he said that to Peter, get behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the things of God in mind. You have the things of men.
Right.
He said, so hate pride and arrogance in yourself.
Let me, while you say that, I'm just going to highlight a symptom of pride and arrogance in case somebody has a hard time recognizing it in themselves is the desire to control.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, that's one people can recognize in themselves. So but when you see control coming up, there is a root of pride and arrogance in there. So pay attention.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And then hate it in others. So we're going to watch on both sides of this. You know, we're going to see, you know, what does the administrations do? What do the government do? What do the people in charge do? How are they approaching it? Are they doing it with pride and arrogance? Or are they doing it with that? And those that are going to either be misled, are they willing to receive? Well, wait a minute. Why don't we go to God and seek truth? If they reject that, no, I already know the truth. Well, that's pride and arrogance. And so God is saying to us is, I want you to elevate to excellent things.
Mm-hmm.
This is about the kingdom. He said, what a great opportunity, first of all, for us to stay focused on the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's receiving the life of the abundant covenant. I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. I'm going to ask you to give it away. I'm going to ask you to invite people to the kingdom, which is you have to surrender your will, not be prideful, have a heart for truth, be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'll instruct you. And if I instruct you, you're going to be well off because of it, and don't get caught up either way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our opportunity is that people that are going to go to battle is, well, let's go back to the purpose of the kingdom. And how we can join that with honor and respect and righteousness, peace, and joy. And the other side of it is, if you think, great, now I'm going to prevail, my political party is going to prevail, and I'm going to push it. Well, we need to invite them to the same thing.
Right, right.
No. Let's go to the kingdom, because this is about the kingdom of God, not about the political situation in America.
Yes.
There's lots of things in play. We're going to uncover those as time goes on. We'll have some people that have some information, and we'll help interpret biblically what it is. And our heart is always to really live this out. That's why God, I think, gave it to me is, Rich, I want you, and I want you to encourage others, keep elevating your thinking to excellence.
Yes.
And excellence is following me in the kingdom. And who you're becoming, how you live it out, and then let me deliver to you the life of the kingdom and invite others, because what I want to do is have people come and join the kingdom, and you together and your communities get stronger and stronger and stronger,
right,
particularly because there's things coming up that we need to understand,
right,
and be careful that we don't make any assumptions about it. So,
so good.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We do know that life is very dynamic, and these things in America right now are big time changes. And so we just pray that we will go back to excellent things, to the kingdom, to walk with you, to enjoy you, to have honor and respect as we live life out, to be in peace, to have joy, and that none of this can detract from our life with you. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. As you wrap up, I'm reminded of the verse Colossians 3:1-2 that I think perfectly encapsulates what you've been saying. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things.
Yeah, there you go.
So we'll leave that as a closing thought today. If you have any questions, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.